Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. All right, good morning everyone. Zach Arscadin coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And today, we are going to continue to stay focused on some news stories we started yesterday. And we want to make sure that we are keeping our emotions in check as we enter into this realm, praying for the Office of the President, making sure we're praying the Father's heart and the Father's will, not our own. And today I titled it Shining Light into the Darkness, and it's coming from our study of reordering our day and focusing on the midnight hour of the day. And today I'm focusing in on Job 34 in verse 20, as Job and his friends are having a back and forth discussion about justice, righteousness, and obviously what has happened to Job. And then the Lord, through this, the writer writes, and I'll bring it here up in verse 20, and the writer writes in Job 34, 20 says, "In a moment they die at midnight, people are shaken and pass away, and the mighty are taken away without a hand." And it shows of the God of God's ultimate sovereignty in this in issues, but also and Chuck points out here through this is that look, we can understand and on behalf, which is why we're here praying for the midnight hour at noon, which is why we're here standing, continuing to stand, praying for God's will, not only for ourselves, for this nation and the Office of the President, and more so to have his kingdom, the Lord's kingdom, his will done on this earth. And he points out through this prayer point is for us to declare, as we gain the Father's heart on this issue, that the plots of the enemies working in secret against you, against us, will be foiled, will be exposed, will be brought to the light. And remember prophetic word we had a couple weeks ago about Georgia, and it's happening all across this nation, is that the what is gone on in the dark is being exposed, is being lifted up. And with the Dobbs case in Mississippi, you're going to see that. You're going to see where people stand as both the right and the left, the church, inside and outside the church. You're going to see where people really, really stand on this issue. And some may say, oh, well, it's going to bring contention. It's going to bring this, that, and the other. Look, Jesus said, I came to divide. He did not come to make life easy. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And so we want to remind ourselves of that in the hopes that we can keep the Lord's heart in this issue as we pray, as we go through the news, and leaving our frustrations there and understanding that we can cry out to the Lord with the right heart for the Lord to expose these matters in making sure his will is done here on the earth. Now, with that, some interesting things have started to happen across this country and around the world. Yesterday, we talked about how Sweden and Finland have basically done the paperwork to put themselves up for admission into NATO. Now, that's important for several reasons, because Russia has pretty much threatened and warned both of those countries to not do so. And it's coming out that Sweden felt the need to do this because they felt like they would have been on an island alone by themselves if they weren't to join. Because if Finland joined and Sweden didn't join, then they really felt extremely vulnerable in that region of the world if they were to not be aligned. Now, there are rumors that Turkey will kind of push back on this because for some reason they don't want both those nations to be involved because of some other political issues that Turkey believes that both of these nations are allowing what Turkey deems as terrorist organizations to be funded from these nations, Finland and Sweden. So Turkey's kind of like, okay, hold on. You can't necessarily do this, which it's very interesting to see where Turkey's aligned because they've been attacked by some Russian troops in all of this. And so we're seeing true colors play out even on an international stage. And now with NATO meeting shortly to discuss things, there is news now that the Japanese top military chief will ultimately join these meetings in Brussels this week to hear about the discussions, but then also to add in the warning for NATO, United States, European Union, about the heightened military expansion and navigation of not only Chinese forces, but also North Korean forces. Now, this is quite interesting because if Japan is now starting to say, hey, we want to kind of update you on what's going on and make you aware and be involved in what you're doing, this is something we want to... We obviously have prophetic to pray for this administration, but it is okay. Let's obviously, if the United States is going to do something, it's going to have an act of Congress to go into war. It's going to have to be a vote about what to do. And so we're going to need our leader, not just this administration. We're going to need other leaders to also understand the importance and the reality of the situation. As now the Biden administration is sending troops back in to, I believe it was Sri Lanka. I might be wrong on the country. But reversing a Trump order, getting us back into more proxy wars. And so there's issues with a urge to get us back as the midterms come closer towards back into a war to drum up patriotic sentiment and to not remove the sitting president from the seat of office that they're usually in. And that's, we talked about that a little bit here. So that's something we want to pray about, wisdom for this administration, as we also look at some updates out of Kiev or out of Ukraine that Kiev has put out in saying that there are troops that they ordered troops in Mariupol steel plant to surrender. Reuters has shown video and pictures of the troops being bussed to the Russian side to show supposedly that they're going to treat them for wounds and et cetera. And supposedly Putin says we're going to treat them with international law. So now you're starting to see. And it was only a matter of time. I mean, there was no way to get water, food, supplies into them. They were holding out. They did the best they could. But unfortunately, with how bad Russia had pretty much bombed the entire country, that region of the country in Mariupol, and was specifically going after that plant. And they need that plant. They can't just destroy it for industrial reasons. They need it. And that's why they went in there to capture it. There are also talks with United States and Ukrainian foreign officials to somehow, this would be amazing, somehow get wheat to be grown in Ukraine and Russia at this time with the war going on to help lighten the load of the global food crisis, with the fact that 40% of grain for the entire world comes from these two regions, and the fact that farmers are at war and they're not planting. So that's hopefully something can be done there. I'm not sure necessarily something will. And also Lviv in the western part of Ukraine has been starting to experience bombings on a current basis. And there's a curfew for the people who are still in Lviv. and obviously we know some people there, so we want to continue to pray for their safety and ultimately continue to pray for this administration to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord on this issue, making sure we're not jumping into a war that the Lord doesn't have us called in. Obviously, if it's what we need to do, okay, that's a different issue. But there's still things that can be done. NATO can step up, EU can step up funding, etc., which segues into the fact that the Senate bill or the Senate vote that Rand Paul tried to block to say, hey, we need an inspector general to look at these funds, where they're going, how they're being used, etc. And then also he voted down any foreign spending bill altogether because he's a libertarian and he's actually a libertarian. And shocker that he actually lived by his morals. I mean, who could have seen that coming from a politician? I mean, it is very shocking that a politician actually does what they say they're going to do. I'm being very facetious in saying that. And the last part of with this Finland-Sweden issue is Mitch McConnell has come out and said, we are going to fast track the Swedish NATO bid. Their hope is to get it in through August to do everything in their power. As far as on their side, then you have to have the rest of NATO. It has to be a unanimous vote to be able to bring them in. If you're NATO, it makes no sense to keep people out. It's more funding, more people to have on your side in case there was a potential war to outbreak. But it also means more red tape with more people, more voices, and more opinions. But that's government for you. So there's all that playing out there, and we just want to continue to pray for wisdom for our leaders. And then what we have today, talked about it yesterday, about how there's the big thing today is the primaries in states, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Idaho, and I can't remember the other one. There's like one or two more states. And Pennsylvania and North Carolina have some very heated races in the Senate for the primaries, deciding who's going to run for each party, especially in Pennsylvania with certain candidates out there. I feel like we today, especially of all days with those two states, we just need to intercede for voters to have clarity and the fear of the Lord on who to vote for in the primaries for the states that are voting today, and that they would see through the mire and vote on issues of life, vote on issues pertaining to freedom. And not just because there's an R by somebody's name or this person endorses them, just because certain people endorse them doesn't always mean that they're the proper candidate. So we want to make sure that we have wisdom as we vote today. And then yesterday we talked about it on the baby formula shortage issue. I want to talk about this for a little bit because there are things that when they're brought to the light, the plans and the lack of plans are being exposed. So yesterday we talked about how the plant needed in Michigan needed to get approval from the FDA to be able to start the process of making formula. Well, all of a sudden, since the news came to light, it now has approval to start, at least in 2 weeks, start producing more baby formula. Now, it still takes 6 to 8 weeks for it, once it's online, to be able to actually get product to market. So the good thing is, okay, there's somewhat of a plan, especially for Abbott Laboratories and the Similac brand. So they're rest assured there. For me, this is good news. we're here to pray for the office of the president. And the news is starting to come out that Biden on May 13th said that he wished he would have known sooner about this deal. He said, I wish we were better mind readers. And that's Joe Biden being a jokester. And unfortunately, a president being a jokester is not always the best idea, especially when you're talking about the lives of children who can only eat or drink one or two things. And it's starting to come out that they knew about this for over a year. And what's very interesting is that HHS Secretary Xavier Barcara went on to CNN and was asked a question: Are you satisfied with the government's response throughout the baby formula shortage? If you watch the video, he doesn't answer that question. He says the FDA has kept me apprised of this from last year. Again, this is on CNN. This is great reporting by CNN, by the way, of asking this type of question, which is shocking, but they're actually doing their job because they're losing ratings. And said, we have been moving as quickly as we can. What does that mean? If you knew about it last year, you're doing moving as quickly as you can. To do what would be my question, the follow-up question. It's very sad to see that, again, in another instance, is they knew about this. They're not doing anything about it. Just because you have the information with all your knowledge, gain understanding, scripture tells us. So it's very sad to see this, and not something I don't want this administration to fail. I want them to succeed, but unfortunately, things are happening that are not necessarily showing that they're succeeding, unfortunately. And the American public are paying for it. And then we have a bill coming out or being presented from GOP Senator Mike Lee, basically easing restrictions nationwide for formula imports. The standard and helping plants and the companies get back to being able to produce, removing some of the red tape. Hopefully, again, this is just a proposed bill. Hopefully it can get worked out rather smoothly and efficiently, so that mothers, not only now, because it's not just now that parents are having a hard time, is if it continues to go on and people start buying things, hoarding things, it's going to be harder and harder. And as babies keep continuing to be born, and whether mothers breastfeed, are unable to breastfeed, whatever the case may be, there's going to need to be that, and for some, in most case, in a lot of cases, an alternative of breast milk to be able to give milk to a child. And so this is a good step in the right direction. Now, how fast can it move in that direction for the mothers and the innocent children? And yes, there's the issue with what happened at the border with sending formula there, which can easily be resolved. Unfortunately, you close the border, and as we're getting closer towards the Biden administration ending Title 42, what does that look like? Does that mean you're going to have more issues there with formula and everything? It's going to be gone. They need it. I mean, again, there's a lot of issues at play here. Now, so we talked about a few interesting things, but now there's been, yesterday had a several major victories, and we talked about this reversal of a law from the Trump administration that the Biden administration was trying to do in forcing medical employees to basically be forced to perform surgeries and things against their religious conscience. I guess this is the best way to say it. And a federal court judge basically said, no, you can't force people to do something against their will, which goes back to the First Amendment. And in reality, that's where the legality of this stands. Does the administration have the right to do that? It's surprising that the Trump administration would have to put something on, but unfortunately, that's where we are in the world as things become more nuanced. And so this is a good victory. Now, it's a temporary hold. We obviously want to, this is a Golden Court case we need to start praying about. It's praying that you have leaders who understand what this really means. And then obviously judges who will rule properly in this case, so that people can be protected from let's say you're a believer and this law is reversed and you're forced to perform an abortion completely against your will. I mean, these are the type of things that they're talking about. And there's a temporary hold on this, and hopefully this can stand in place. And also, we saw, again, local. This is why local elections matter. And I think as we gear up towards primaries heavily today, what Ron DeSantis has done of making it illegal, he signed a law into place to ban, make it illegal to protest outside someone's home in Florida. So with what you're seeing with the Supreme Court justices in Maryland and Virginia, I mean, obviously that may kind of, it's easy for us, hopefully easy for us to understand that yeah, this is wrong to be doing this at somebody's home, even though there's obstruction of justice laws that should prevent this. But local elections matter, sometimes more than the federal elections, and people need to keep that in mind as they vote. And kudos to Ron DeSantis for continuing to lead on the top issues in this nation, protecting Floridians, and other leading, and hopefully other governors can take this as an example of what can be done. I mean, it seems like common sense that this should already be in a law in place, but again, you have nuances of people trying to do things. And then last thing, we've warned about being aware and not just, oh, the red wave, the red wave, the red wave, or the blue wave, the blue wave, the blue wave, because people are saying such a thing. Is either both sides are going to try to continue to fight this out, and with the census being taken in 2020, there is a redraw of congressional maps. We talked about how New York was trying to, and this pertains to New York specifically, New York was trying to basically make it impossible to have fair elections, to say the least. But judges, people, Republican Party in New York said, no, that's not the case. We're going to fight this. And so they fought it. And a judge appointed somebody to redraw the maps. And that proposed map puts things down evenly and makes 15 districts, congressional districts, into contention. And makes them into a 45-50% competitive range, meaning that they could go either way. So these laws, the map, because of cases fought in the Supreme Court in New York, rightfully so challenged, rightfully so ruled, and now this is being based upon the constituency, not just what politicians want, of where the maps should lie, making the goal that the Democrats in New York were trying to basically make up for loss of certain seats in other states null and void. If this goes forward, they still have to approve it later this week. So hopefully they can, if there's not something crazy that happens in the court system in New York with this case, which is something we need to be aware of. So in all this craziness and madness going on with inflation and war in Ukraine and all this stuff, there are, and look, the reason this is important is this map will last the next 10 years before the next census is taken and before the next congressional maps are ruled. So this is good news. And again, today we want to pray for the voters. We also want to pray for current, we've been praying about this one, but obviously with the host of these issues and more things that are going to arise, we need to continue to pray for these future leaders who are up for election, that not only would they have the fear of the Lord, that they would understand the times and seasons we are in, but they would use wisdom and revelation to not only clearly find the policies that they're going to run on, but to actually have the backbone to walk them out once they get in office. Because it's not enough just to say something, and to walk it out and have the fear of the Lord as you're walking it out. So with that, I'm going to close today. Thank you to everyone for following along with me today. We're covering a lot. Let's continue to pray for the Supreme Court justices as well, especially Roberts and Kavanaugh, because the case ruling will not come out until most likely June, July, which is the original release date, because it looks like they're trying to find the leaker. We talked about that at noon, so we want to continue praying that. And don't forget, today we have our noon prayer. And for those in Shreveport Bossier, we'll be having it here at Christian Center Shreveport and online for everyone on all our social platforms as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.